taking our calendars 98-12-74 and late law weight system for the Consolidated Rail Corporation. Mr. Habash.
The basis for granting a right of referendum was that there was no prior meaningful right, despite the 90 days that had expired in the course of the terms of the legislation. The court said no meaningful right had existed to date, and based on the constitutional requirement that there be such a right, how can we analyze it such that the statute was constitutionally in effect at any point, given that the court determined this business about meaningful rights?
I think you're right, Your Honor. One, the court was very careful not to say that the right of referendum granted in the article with respect to one view of the Constitution was not present, and that the legislature did provide a 90-day period. It just had a question of the quality of that referendum in light of rights. If, in fact, what the court was meaning to say was there is a constitutional deficiency in that amended substitute Council 107 never went into effect, there would be no purpose to issue it today. The court would have granted the right of the request of relief to really roll the whole thing back into effect.
If it's not, I understand what you're trying to reconcile it, but if there is no, how can you have a levels of quality of meeting a constitutional requirement?
Your Honor, you're grappling with the same issues that I'm grappling with.
I know.
That is, if the court, which it did grant in the subsequent opinion, wanted to, did say that the three-member commission was to be in place in the rule on things, it has to appeal to some effect to the legislation because that three-member commission was granted only in the Constitution. The other issue that I believe is to support that is the dissent, and that's actually issued by Justice Lee, that no, I understand because it ought to be rolled all the way back to pre-October 23 of 1993. And I also think that you have a problem in interpreting that otherwise because the state was not issued until April 8 of 1994. What happened from October 23 of 1993 April 8 of 1994 was all the ballots and cases that were heard, all the issues that were adjudicated. The court could have said at that time, as I said earlier, that we are taking this all the way back as if no right of referendum existed. I think it was only the unique circumstances of the right case and the fact that this legislature had in fact granted the initial right of referendum that this court was compelled to try and create a very unique remedy to address both of those different issues.
I'm just struggling with what's the effect of such a remedy, that I don't still see how you can have it effective without meeting the constitutional requirement. The whole upshot of the court's decision on that referendum was that it hadn't been met in terms of being meaningful.
But if the court felt that it was not effective, then the decision, I think, would have been granted otherwise, and I think Justice Lee would have offered the...
Well, even despite the intent, I think we must look at it today on what it legally can be. How can it be that it's in effect but not meeting the constitutional requirement?
Well, I'm not sure that it doesn't meet the constitutional requirement. It may not be the constitutional requirement as filtered through right. The constitutional requirement is that you provide a 90-day referendum period, which was provided no referendum petition was filed with the Secretary of State during that time period. Briefly, and then I will yield the floor to Mr. Mark, I think at the point in time that we're looking at this is April 8th, 1994, when the court said maintain the status quo. If none of the amended substitute House of 170 existed at that time, there would be no status quo to maintain. The issue then is whether the right of subrogation is part of the status quo. The right of subrogation is an automatic right that existed as of 1723 to 1993. Certified by the Bureau of Workers' Compensation and at least 11 cases for injuries arising prior to April 8th of 1994, and there was an internal administrative program in the Department of more detail that the Bureau of Workers' Compensation implemented to assert those rights. In fact, I would suggest, Your Honor, if they had asserted the rights during that time period up to April 8th of 1994, they would have been derogated to the statutory obligation and they would breach their fiduciary duty.
Thank you, Mr. Habash. Mr. Barnes.
May it please the court. In response to Judge Cook's question, I believe what the court intended with its stay was not to extinguish the right which had been put forth in the deal, but to simply delay the enforcement of those rights. It was telling the Bureau and the Commission and self-insured employer that you have those rights. However, we want to make sure that the citizens of Ohio have an opportunity to vote on this.
Yeah, I understand. I think that you cannot really say you have those rights despite this constitutional defect which we find. That's the way I'm having trouble with it.
Right.
We find a constitutional defect, but go ahead.
And of course you're referring to the right decision which was overruled. And I think we have to keep in mind that the bill did give the opportunity for a referendum. And the problem, of course, that the court found with the right decision was that no referendum is required if there is a non-appropriation as well as an appropriation provision. And I think what the court was doing, as Mr. Evans stated, the court was trying to compromise because the court did not do another or allow for another referendum without finding something wrong with the bill. And the court had various options in regard to what it was going to do with the bill. The bill was in full compliance with the law as it stood at that time. It was in full compliance with rights. And under rights, the legislature was not required to provide for a 90-day referendum period. But it did. Upon the expiration of that 90-day period, the bill went into effect on October 20th of 1993, and there is nothing in either Voinovich 1 or Voinovich 2 which would indicate that the effective date, the initial effective date of the bill changed. In reliance on Voinovich 1 and Voinovich 2, and even before that time, upon the governor's signature of the bill, the Bureau took action to implement its subrogation procedure. And up to the time of the Voinovich 1 decision, in fact, the Bureau had asserted its subrogation rights in 11 cases. And today, for the period in question, April 8 through July 7th of 94, the Bureau identified 300-plus cases where it could have asserted subrogation rights, and in fact has collected over $1 million in regard to that. There is a question as to whether if the effective date is found not to be October 20th of 93, where does the Bureau stand? There may be an argument, although I believe not a legitimate argument, that in those cases, the Bureau is required to give those monies back. I don't think that's a legitimate argument because the majority of those were settled cases, were negotiated settlements. However, that argument is out there. The court's usage of the language status quo means just that. Whatever is in place as of April 8th of 1994 stays in place.
Before House Bill 107, was there a specific prohibition against subrogation?
No.
So 107 created what was already in existence?
Because there was no prohibition, I'm not sure that means that it was already in existence. I don't think it was in existence. I think what the state of Ohio was doing was following the majority of other states and having subrogation statutes.
Now, several of us were in the room when all this was being discussed. I was part of this decision and maybe even wrote part of this information. It's interesting to hear, and I'll be interested to hear the other side take on what we were thinking at the time we did this, because I know what we were thinking at the time we did. It had nothing to do with any of this. And just if you're curious, I'll tell you, it was because they'd abolished 107, abolished the Regional Board of Review, and there was some single individual that had been removed from a position, and we were making sure that that their rights were all protected. That's what that was all about.
And I keep my time quiet, but I would actually briefly address that.
If you have it so the red light comes on, so you can answer.
I have no way of disputing what the court was thinking at that time. However, I don't believe that the court can look at each individual provision of House Bill 107 and say that this, we're going to uphold this part or address this part in our state. I think you have to take, I think the court would require and did take the entire bill as a whole.
The majority of the court did exactly that on the merits, didn't it? Exactly that.
Yeah.
Picked and chose.
And, at this time, I'll reserve your remaining.
Thank you, sir. You do. Yeah.
Period, which was dictated by the Ohio Constitution.
Dave, you haven't put us on yet.
Well, I believe that could address it. I think very adequately in two Court of Appeals decisions which came out of the 8th Judgment Court of Appeals in both the Hyam case and the Murphy case. In both cases, in one it was the Bureau of Workers' Comp, the other it was adult insurance employers who were attempting to assert the right of subrogation, and in both of those cases, the Court of Appeals found that what they were asserting was a right, not a program. I believe that when this court said that there are programs which were in place that we don't want you to stop, is because they were trying to protect the workers who had claims pending in the system at the time. It does not reach to the question of whether or not a law went into effect without the referendum period having been granted to people in Ohio. I think this court clearly found in Voinovich 1 that, yes, 90 days were allowed to go by, but the people of Ohio didn't have a right of referendum under our decision in Rice. And therefore, we're going to overrule Rice, remove that impediment, and give the people of Ohio an opportunity to have that referendum. So I don't believe that saying that when we pursue rights of subrogation, that means that we had a program in place, and therefore, a law which did not come into effect on October 20, 1993, nevertheless, was in effect. I think clearly it was not.
Counsel Woods, working as a defense body,
I believe that if I understood the position of the defense, and there were a lot of qualifiers in some of the dissenting opinions, but if I understood the defense, you would have said that the position in which we are now is where we were prior to the enactment of this law, prior to the enactment of House Bill 107.
That's in one of its two.
Well, it's in one, but I think two, as it applies to this question, in one of its two, the court may recall that there were three questions included in the emergency motion for clarification. The third question went, I believe, at least tangentially to the issue found before the panel. In the event that a referendum on House Bill 107 is placed on the November 20, 1994 ballot, will the stay imposed by this court's order continue in effect? The court ignored the whole issue of a stay and referred the parties to the constitutional provision which provides for the referendum. I think they clearly said, has nothing to do with the state. You have to follow the sets of the constitutional provisions which are in the Ohio Constitution in Section 1 of Article 2. And that's what's going to govern the course of this case from here on out, as it applies to whether or not you still have the right to enforce those provisions about which the people of Ohio had not had the opportunity for a referendum. Now, I don't know if that specifically answers your question, but I thought that the senators, and I believe the senators on this panel said we would throw the entire bill out, in which case there would be no right to suffrage.
Yeah, I was not part of the senators on this point.
That's right.
Okay, I apologize. So I'm trying to figure out whether it needs to be a combination of what you said. Justice Kennedy essentially he's saying that all the inherent things are cases.
He says that the majority recognizes the citizens of Ohio have been foreclosed from the opportunity to seek a referendum, and as such, the stay ordered by this court by the decision of April 8th reverts to the law to the status that existed before House Bill 107.
That's good for you.
That's good for me.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, this is a dissent.
But I'm trying to answer the question. My point is that in answering the third question, I think it's clear that this panel stated that if there's a referendum asked for, the law is not in effect, it cannot be given effect, and you're going to have to work through the whole referendum process, which the people of Ohio are entitled to have.
You know, the general law is that when we grant a stay, we leave things in place as they are, not as they were. Isn't that correct?
I think so.
And when we grant that stay, subrogation was in effect.
I don't agree.
Okay.
You granted that stay, subrogation was not in effect because you determined in point of this one that as a matter of fact, the people of Ohio were denied a right.
Yeah, I know.
A referendum.
Yeah, I know. I know
and,
why.
And the constitutional provision clearly says that no law passed by the General Assembly shall go into effect. It doesn't go into effect. It's not null and void. It just does not go into effect until the period of time and the opportunity for referendum is passed.
Until what?
I mean, one of these one. They were not given an opportunity for a referendum. Therefore, it did not go into effect.
I think your argument, Mr. Houses, is that that you have to read now meaningful into the constitutional provision. It's no law shall be passed and go into effect until a meaningful 90 days. I mean, isn't that essentially what this court said in Voinovich 1?
Yes.
That's got to be, the 90 days has got to be meaningful, and therefore it couldn't have gone into effect.
I agree. I don't think there's any question about the basis for finding that the 90-day period was not what was contemplated by the Constitution is because we found out that right had emasculated the citizens of Ohio's right to have a referendum. And that's why you overruled right. And I don't know how you can say right is not the law. We didn't give the people a right to the referendum, but nevertheless, this law went into effect. But I think what you did was fashion a middle ground in an effort to salvage what you put out of the act and still provide protection to the workers in the state of Ohio. I have nothing further unless you have any questions with me.
Thank you, Mr. House.
Thank you.
Mr. Bash, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
If I could freely respond to Justice Douglas, the subrogation was in effect prior to the statute of the case law and something like that.
Was there a right of subrogation?
There was a right of subrogation, but it was limited to those cases where contractual privity existed between the third party's work either as an employer. Not for the whole case that we wrote down the cost of the Lennox case, the initial case, the Cincinnati Bell case, the Lennox case.
But I was pretty clear that we had the right of subrogation, even at common law.
I'm pretty clear that that's alleged, that's true. For that.
Why wouldn't that affect this?
Affected.
I mean, why wouldn't that, let's say the subrogation was in effect even before 107?
Well, I think that's true. I think the right of subrogation was in effect, and I think the passage was in effect. Just briefly comment.
Very briefly.
Counsel, I want to have a question because I'm looking to answer my personal dilemma. I remember one of this one very clearly and have a lot about how we got there. One of the two, I don't have much substance for our questions, but I'm reading what Justice Sweeney said in one of the two. Found otherwise, they found that the non-appropriation provision
did go into effect on October 20th, 1993. During college, you can't have it both ways. You can't have a constitutional infirmity or purpose in effect for this court found that substantive Hospital 107 was in effect. It was in effect for all the provisions as of April 8, 1994. They issued a stay, and as the court clearly stated, they require the Bureau of Workers' Compensation Industrial Commission to continue operations under the status quo, which meant 107, except only for those programs that were authorized but not yet under the stay. It was extremely narrow in that respect.
So the vote for you, following my question, Justice Sweeney and I, to get there, do it on the basis of the majority opinion control, and you give me the answer you want to this question based on the majority opinion.
And that's the case, your line up.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised for opinion.